Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now so you can join the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. So call now, 800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about identity, who we are as believers in Christ Jesus. And there is this wonderful little story in the book of Exodus. It's one of my favorite chapters in all the Word of God. It's Exodus 33. It's all about Moses being shown the glory of God. But there's this interesting conversation that takes place between Moses and the Lord. And it starts in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 33. If you are pleased with me, this is Moses saying, speaking to God, he said, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. That sounds like New Covenant stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. And listen to this. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?
Yeah.
Well, God answered that question, his presence with the people of God, but that was a foreshadowing of what was going to happen for us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Paul wrote this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What distinguishes us as the people of God today? The fact that Jesus Christ lives inside of us. He goes with us wherever we are. It's not our good works or any of those things that distinguishes us from others. It's the fact that Jesus Christ lives in us. And the fact that he lives in us is going to move us in new directions in our lives. It's going to enable us to live in the newness of life and to do the works that God has prepared for us beforehand. So what does it mean to be a child of God? It means this. It means to have Jesus Christ in you. It means that Jesus Christ's presence is with you forever. It means that Jesus is with you every minute of every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's good news.
Yes.
That's what makes you a child of God.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and thanks for joining us. We want you to join us by phone. If you have a question or something you really need to discuss, why, that's why we're here live to allow you to do exactly that. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now, and the time remaining on the clock, it's all yours. So give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Ron, who writes to us from Moline, Illinois. He says, I struggle with my witness verbally at work. Even when opportunities come, I seem to blow it, meaning I don't say anything when I should. When Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father, does that apply to me? How does what Jesus said apply to grace and my life as a believer? That's from Ron and Moline.
It's a good question, and I think that's something that weighs heavily on a lot of people's minds. You know, we're thrust into different situations. Most of them are secular by nature.
Yes.
We may be the lone Christian. There might be another Christian in the workplace, but we're surrounded by folks who don't believe in Jesus, who aren't believers. They've never come to faith in Jesus Christ. So they have a tendency just to blurt out whatever's on their mind to express
yes.
their opinions. And sometimes that's disconcerting. It makes you shrivel up a little bit because you don't want to be made fun of. You don't want to be, the butt of people's jokes. You want to kind of fit in. So sometimes you don't say some of the things that you would want to say. But that doesn't mean that you're blowing your witness. That doesn't mean that you're denying Jesus. That just means you didn't say something in a conversation. What God would really desire, and if you are really interested in the people there, it would be worthwhile scheduling a lunch. Hey, Joe, love to go to lunch with you, get to know you a little better. And so you schedule a lunch, you have time where you can just talk. And in that conversation, share your faith. Hey, Joe, just want you to know that I'm a believer. Sometimes I don't speak up because I'm a little nervous about what people think, but I just want you to know that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'd love to tell you about what that means. And so you have this great opportunity to engage in a conversation. We love those folks that are quick-witted or they're quick with a response. They're just Johnny on the spot, and we think that's the ideal. Well, no, that's not the ideal. That's just sharing barbs back and forth. The ideal is relationship. It's engagement. It's being involved in a deeper level, and you can't do that just by quick little comments here and there.
Right.
Go to lunch, set some time, talk about your relationship with the Lord, find out a little bit about the other person, and then let it go from there.
But by refraining from speaking, as Ron said, when he had the opportunity, does that mean he's denied the faith?
Absolutely not.
All right. Not at all.
Hadn't denied the faith at all. He just hadn't said something that he thinks he should have said.
Right.
And again, that gets down to his own idea of what a great Christian should be.
Mm-hmm. And this is the blessing of sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was speaking with a young man this morning who called to ask him questions, and his question to me, one of the questions to me was, why did God choose the Jewish people for the Messiah to come through? Why were they his elected people?
Well, they weren't Jewish to begin with. They were just, Abraham was just a guy.
Yeah.
And God looked down and said, you know, Abraham, get up, go to this new place. And he developed a relationship with Abraham. And in that relationship, in that conversation, he said, here's what I'm going to do. You have really nothing to do with this, but I'm going to bless you in such a way that your seed is going to be a blessing to the world. And Abraham believed God. Mm-hmm. And so Abraham married, he was married to Sarah. They had Isaac. That child, Isaac, was the son of promise. He came at a time when Sarah was 90 years of age and Abram was 100. Mm-hmm. And then it went to the next generation. God developed a relationship with Isaac, and he gave the same promises to Isaac that he did to Abram. And then it went to Jacob. And Jacob had the 12 sons, and then that became the Jewish bloodline.
Right.
And so it was through that bloodline that the Messiah was to come. Mm-hmm. But the seed was always referring to Jesus.
Yeah.
Abraham couldn't see that far out, but he knew something was going to happen through his bloodline. Mm-hmm. So it went through Isaac, went through Jacob, went through Judah, and eventually here comes Jesus, and
yeah.
Jesus is the blessing to the world. Anyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ is blessed. We receive every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. We're made alive in Christ. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We're made righteous. We're given a new name. We're given an inheritance. We're given a hope. We've been given the Spirit of God. We have all of that because of Jesus.
Right.
He is the blessing to each and every one that comes to him by faith. So because God chose Abraham and there was a bloodline, that became the Jewish people.
Yeah.
So there weren't any Jews before Abraham.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I told him, almost verbatim.
Well, good deal.
1-800-677-93. That was a good answer, by the way. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, friends. Plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you. As I've said so many times, that's why we are here live on the air, so that you can be a part of the program and pose your question or your particular need or need for guidance or whatever issue you might be facing. We can address that issue, and we can talk about it right now, but you need to call us. Pick up that phone right now. Don't hesitate. Call 1-800-677-9377. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. A question that we've gotten many times through the years, guys. This is from Eldica Rose, who writes to us concerning Genesis 6:4. The question, can you explain this passage to me, Genesis 6:4, where it says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bore children? That's a question from Eldica Rose, who wrote to us, through the Internet.
Boy, I have done so much research on that particular passage. I have read just numerous commentaries. Richard, I know you have done the same thing. And there's just a lot in there that we don't really know, and we can't fully explain. There are folks that say the sons of God went to the daughters of men. The sons of God were angels. And so angels had intercourse with women, and that created these Nephilim, these giants. Well, there's a lot of theologians that believe that. Others come along and say, well, no, angels are asexual. They can't have sex with anyone. That's how God created them, so that can't be. So maybe the sons of God were the righteous men who engaged with the unrighteous, and that produced the Nephilim and the evil that was in the world. There's just a lot to this passage that we don't really know, and we can't fully say. There's a lot of things that we can be dogmatic about. The fact that Jesus Christ took away our sins once and for all, we can be very dogmatic about that. The fact that we have everlasting life when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we can be dogmatic about that. But some of the things like this, we can just say, here's what I think. And I think, Richard, that's kind of what you've come to in all your research as well.
Yeah, I have my own take on it, but I'm not going to force that on anybody else. My own take is that, you know, if you look at the whole creation story, the phrase is like begets like. So only humans can have humans. Only dogs can have dogs. Only lemon trees can spawn lemon trees, right? And so this would be something completely different and out of the ordinary. But beyond saying that, there's just questions in here.
Absolutely.
I'm willing to live with the questions because if you look through the Bible and you get wrapped up in something like this and it costs you your faith, you haven't been reading the Bible.
Right.
Because there is so much that is clear in the plan of salvation and how we deal with God and how God is initiated to us that these kinds of things become kind of small after
right.
a while.
And the lead of this story mm-hmm. isn't the Nephilim or the sons of God going to the daughters of men. The lead in this story is the fact that man's wickedness on earth had become so great
yes.
and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil that God decided to act. Mm-hmm. And he decided to judge the world at that time, and he judged it through a flood. And he gave a plan of salvation, and that plan of salvation becomes a type of the salvation that we
yes.
have in Jesus Christ, the rescue that we have in him. And that's what God saves us from, the evil of our own hearts. And he gives us a new heart, and we can rejoice in that. So that's what I think Moses was trying to communicate in this particular story. We oftentimes get sidetracked. We get over here on something that's intriguing, fascinating. We try to figure it out. And as I said, theologians have been discussing this for thousands and thousands of years. What exactly was happening there with these Nephilim? And they show up later on, even after the flood.
Yes.
So how do they show up after the flood? So there's all kinds of questions that are up in the air. And I think we just look at it and say, God acted. There was something that was going on that was so disgusting and such an abomination to the Lord that he judged the world in such a way that he destroyed it and brought out of that a new and righteous people that became unrighteous very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Eldica Rose, we hope that has been a help to you. And friends, we encourage you to drop us an email, a question. If you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, you can do that at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks. Let's go to Jose down in Corpus Christi, Texas, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Jose.
Hello, hello.
Well, hello to you as well. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to ask, what is the difference between current Jews and the Palestinians? Are they not Jews themselves?
The Palestinians, no, they would not claim a Jewish heritage. They would claim an Arab heritage. We have to kind of look at the history of that land over there. You know, after Jesus was killed, was crucified, and then was resurrected, he was there for another 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven, and then he sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through the next, 30, 40 years, there was lots of upheaval going on in Israel. The church was scattered, and Rome came in and decided to destroy Israel. They sent armies in, they destroyed Jerusalem, they knocked down the temple, and Jews scattered. You would find Jews in almost every corner of the world. Well, that left that land virtually empty. Rome still controlled it for a number of years, and then Turkey came in, and it fell under Turkish control. But it just became a barren wasteland, and it had a few nomads. And Rome, because of their hatred for Israel, they decided to name that land Palestine. It was an offshoot of Philistine. And if you read through the Old Testament, you realize that the Philistines were the Jews' arch enemy. They were always dealing with the Philistines. Goliath was a Philistine, for example. So they decided to name the land Palestine as a derivative of Philistine. And so that's how we've known the land for these 2,000 years. Well, those that occupied the land just inherited the name Palestinian, and they were of Arab descent. And they lived there in tents, and they had herds of goats and sheep and that sort of thing. And they would stay at a place for a while, and then they would pick up tents and move somewhere else. The city of Jerusalem, like I said, was under Turkish control. And then in 1948, all things changed. Yes. The UN recognized Israel as a nation. And lots of other nations were formed at that time as well. And so that enhanced the Palestinian-Jewish conflict. And we've seen that on full display for a number of years. So the Palestinians were not of Jewish descent. They would have been of Arab descent.
So now it's a fight between those that are actually Jewish, claiming claiming Jerusalem and the surroundings, versus those other Palestinian Arabic descent.
That's the conflict in Israel. Who has the right to that land? And so the United Nations has recognized that the Jews have a right to that land, and they gave them some of that land. Palestinians are claiming that no, it should be their land, and so that's the conflict. And so it's a fight over the land.
The Palestinians and the Jewish, that has always brought some confusion to me. I appreciate you explaining that.
Well, I hope that helps, Jose. And thanks for your call today. Good question.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Payette, Idaho, and talk to Lavana. Hi, Lavana. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm on the same line as you've been talking about. And if you go back to Noah in chapter 9 of Genesis, and after the flood, it says 9:24, when Noah sobered up, he got drunk, and his younger son, Ham, saw him naked and made fun of him. Anyway, it says, when Noah sobered up and learned what his youngest son had done to him, he set a curse on Canaan. Canaan was Ham's son. He will be a slave to his brothers. Give praise to the Lord, the God of Shem, Now, Abraham came from Shem, and Jesus. Canaan will be the slave of Shem. May God cause Japheth to increase. May his descendants live with the people of Shem. Canaan will be the slave of Japheth. After the flood, Noah lived 350 years and died at the age of 950. So the Palestinian was the land of Canaan before they named it Palestine.
Yeah.
And when the Jewish people, when God told them to go into Canaan, he said to destroy them. Now, you were talking about the line of Jesus. It's with Ishmael, it's Abraham, Ishmael, Kedar, and then Mohammed. And as Ishmael was an Egyptian, and that's a descendant of Canaan. So that's the two differences, the line of
Isaac Abraham. And Ishmael.
Yeah, Abraham, Ishmael, and Kedar, and Mohammed. And God said that Ishmael would not have a part in the covenant.
That's correct. That is correct. So, thanks.
Well, that's the dispute we're having over there now, is between.
Well, yeah, and there's many different phases of that. You know, you have Isaac and Ishmael, then you have Jacob and Esau. You have just a lot of different. I guess iterations of that through history. There's always been a conflict, and that conflict is going to be here until the Lord comes back. And so that's why we as believers, we cry out, Maranatha. We wait for the Lord's return. We are looking forward to that day when he comes back and he establishes the new heavens, the new earth, and his full visible reign here on the planet. And that's when we will be revealed as the true sons and daughters of God. And the world is going to look at that and take notice. And so that's our hope. And in the meantime, we live as children of God. We live by faith in the risen Christ who indwells us, and we allow him to do his work in and through us. It's you know, visible works, but done in such a way that the world really doesn't take notice. Well, Ivana, thanks. Go ahead.
Well, I've just got onto this chapter 9 of Genesis the last few months, and you know, we always talk about starting with Abraham, but I think right there it's Noah's sons, Canaan, Shem, and Japheth. And again, Canaan, it says in the Bible that his descendants settled in Libya, Egypt, Syria, and Arabia, and that's all. You know, all those countries are front and center right now in going on today.
Yes, they are, and that whole area has kind of been the center of the conflict throughout history. Well, Ivana, thanks for your call and thanks for your insight. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, you are welcome. You call anytime.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. We have a couple of callers left on the line. We'll get to them tomorrow if they will call back. We would love to talk with both Manny and Maurice and answer their questions and talk further about this Basic Gospel and how we can share it with others. But we are children of God. And what makes us children of God is the fact that we have been born again into the family of God, the fact that we have Jesus Christ alive living in us. If you're a believer, that's what distinguishes you from everyone else, the fact that Jesus is alive in you, Christ in you, your hope of glory.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob. And it's kind of been History Day on the broadcast. That's been interesting. So thanks for your input on that. Say, friends, if you like what you hear each day, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. This month, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you're going to receive Bob Christopher's four-message series, When God is For You. To learn the truth about God's love for you and to realize your true identity in Jesus Christ, make your gift and request your copy today. When God is For You, visit us at basicgospel.net or phone your gift and your request to 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828, and learn to live in the confidence that God is for you. Well, that's our broadcast for today, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.